Blog Talk Radio.
You are now entering the BYGP locker room with your host, Coach Terrence Wood. Let's go. GP locker room, and I am your host, Coach Terrence Wood, and it's been a while since we've been in the locker room, so we are excited and revved up and ready to go. We've got an amazing guest to kick off our new season, action-packed, you guys, tons of content, tons of knowledge for you to stay on the right path for your football dreams. Now, for those that are joining us for the very first time, Before You Go Pro is a company that is solely focused on helping aspiring football players take their game to the next level and stay on the right track off the field. And tonight's guest is none other than a very dear friend of mine, somebody that I grew up with. I met this young man when I was 18 years old, and we've been friends ever since. And he's got an amazing football story for you guys, had an amazing career, and that's none other than Mr. Andre Gerard. Jay, Dre, can you hear us tonight?
Yes, I can, sir. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Long time no talk. How you doing?
Man, I've been busy grinding, started working on stuff with the draft and then also doing some coaching stuff, so it's been pretty busy. I'll tell you an ironic thing that's crazy is being an offensive lineman, and this will be my second season, and I actually am the assistant to the assistant coach on the defensive line, so I coach the defensive line.
Wow. Well, obviously you have an idea what they're trying to do on the other side of the ball, so I'm sure you're just fine. But it's good to have you, man, and thanks for coming on tonight. I know you're a busy person.
Man, thanks for having me, T-Wood. Anytime.
Perfect. So, as you know, this isn't your first time in the locker room. We've got an audience of young, aspiring football players. Many of them know you. Many of their parents know you. And they're just trying to find an edge. You know, they work with people on the field to have that edge, and then they listen to our show to get the edge off the field. Now, for you, you're coming from Houston, Texas. And obviously, Texas is a big football state. When did it dawn on you, Dre, that you had a future in football?
Well, I think for me, you know, each child growing up has a dream to play in the NFL. I remember telling my mom when I was about 9 that I wanted to play in the NFL with everything that I believed, but I had no idea how I was going to get there. And so, you know, the journey got pretty rocky. You get into high school, you're filling things out. And I think somewhere around my sophomore year, I wound up starting on varsity. At the end of my sophomore year, going into my junior year, I really wasn't focused as I should have been on school and things, but I was a pretty okay student. And a coach pulled me aside and he said, "Hey, you know, you can go to college." I'm like, "Okay, coach, I mean, I know I can, but what do I need to do?" And he showed me a media guide. And he said, "Hey, this is for you, but you can't get it because you're not a junior." And instantly I want to say almost overnight, my focus and attention for school changed. I went to a straight A and B student, and I got those issues corrected by going to summer school, so that when it was time for my senior year to come around, everything was cleared and I was on my way to college. Now, getting to college, it wasn't about focusing on the NFL. It was actually focusing on trying to be the best teammate and player on the field. And so there's a lot of things that I was not paying attention to, because it was more about just honing my skills and trying to be the best at my position. And so by focusing on that and focusing on how to help the team, you start hearing the rumors, but you're just always paying attention to how you can become better. And that's where my focus was in college.
Now, obviously, you had an amazing college career, and everybody's college career has its ebbs and flows, its highs and lows. What is something you could tell our audience about fighting through tough times when maybe things aren't going right?
Well, you personally know, and the audience doesn't know, I think one of the toughest times for me was my redshirt freshman year, having to seriously deal with a very serious injury of tearing the cartilage away from my bone in my right knee. And that was the first time I had ever had surgery. And just the mental attitude that you need to have to fight through getting better, trying to get back to the point of feeling healthy. Another thing that kind of drove me was really being around you guys, you know, having friends close to you that will push you through in a time where you don't think you can go any further, because you guys were dealing with injuries as well. So I think we kind of fed off each other in that sense and kept everybody going forward and moving forward to fight through and get back on the field.
Great point right there, Andre. And obviously a lot of these young men were focused on the NFL draft, which was last week. What are some of your fondest memories of your draft experience?
I still tell the story, and our friend Cedric Cormier knows this story all too well. On draft day, April 20th, 2002, I remember sitting there, and the draft was on, and, you know, guys were being picked, and, you know, you had the Chris Mortensen or whoever did the draft pre-draft stuff. You're kind of figuring out where you're going to go, and guys are just going and going, and it's a long day. And that's when they did the first three rounds on day one. And so I had a microphone on me. I was in my agent's house. I was frustrated, and I remember going upstairs, and I called Cedric, and I was on the phone with Cedric, who was, of course, my high school teammate, middle school teammate, Pop Warner football teammate, college teammate, our teammate. And I'm on the phone with Cedric, and I'm talking to him. Like, said, man, I don't know if this NFL thing's for me. He was like, dude, shut up. I'm like, said, man, I'm sitting up here. People are going. I don't know what's happening. I'm frustrated. I can't take it. And I kid you not, he was like, why are you complaining? I'm like, said, I just don't know. And Cedric calmly says, that's funny you say that, you just got drafted. I'm like, dude, what are you talking about? He said, you just got drafted for the Cowboys. I'm like, what are you talking about? And then at the next moment, my family's rushing upstairs, and they're grabbing me out of the room, and there's cameras in my face, and I'm on the phone with Jerry Jones. Like, whoa. And it was almost surreal to sit there and, you know, hear the voice of Jerry Jones coming out of college. Like, this is amazing. I've heard it on TV, but now I'm actually hearing his voice speaking directly to me. Like, this is crazy. And you're so excited and so enthusiastic just about the process, and everything turns around that you have completely forgotten that, you know, you still have other people that you know that haven't gotten a phone call yet. And so it's a joyful occasion because the pressure is now off of you, but it also can be a sad occasion when you look at your other friends and people that are in the draft that haven't gotten their phone calls yet.
Well said right there, Andre, and great point, and that's an amazing story. I got goosebumps listening to it. And shouts out to Coach Cormier, Coach Cormier at UNLV. A lot of our young audience knows Coach Cormier, so shouts out to him. Now, talk to me about being on the other side of the fence, because now you are working more so on the coaching side, and you know how big of a business this is. Can you talk to our young audience about how to prepare as a professional where things are on the up and up when they come to check your background and when they come to make sure that you are the right investment?
Oh, absolutely. The NFL will take their time through scouts and other resources to really dive into who you are as a person. I think what the athletes need to really truly understand is if you put anything out there on social media, Twitter, Snapchat, whatever media, whatever platform you use, you can say something in high school and think that everything's okay, and the time will come where it's draft time and they will pull this information from you in high school to further use it as a way to judge you. It is some of the craziest things that I've ever seen. And that's why you have to be truly careful about what you put out there. You have to be careful about how they can see. You don't ever want to give them anything negative to put behind your name. And that's why it's very important that these athletes know that moving forward with social media, how you respond, what you respond to, who you speak to, who you follow, says a lot about you as a person. And the NFL looks at all of those things to get a read on who you truly are when they bring you into a team.
Great, great point right there, Andre. And as far as social responsibility, I know that you did a lot of community fundraisers and you had a strong footprint in the Texas community, in the Dallas community, and you're from Texas, so it definitely made sense. But do you think that that's a responsibility of the players, or do you think that it's kind of a fend-for-yourself deal once you get to that level?
I think it's a responsibility of the players to help those and enlighten those that are coming behind them that are going to follow. It does no good to have all of this information and not shared with those who it could truly benefit, which is what you're doing with your platform and the radio and the show that you're putting on. It's so important to give knowledge, or at least have knowledge available for those guys that are coming up, because you don't ever want them to be in a situation where they say they don't know. And you don't ever want them to be surprised. And there's so many guys that have walked into the NFL and have walked out of the NFL with the same speed and as fast because they didn't know something or they couldn't pick up something. And so I always tell guys that it's one thing to make it to the NFL. It's a whole nother business to make it in the NFL. And they're watching as simple as they actually will, at the end of the year, watch the amount of hours that players study film. They watch. They have a technology that clocks how many hours a player studies film. So if you're a player in high school, in college, whatever, if you're on a tablet, they can get that data from that tablet to see how long you've been on there studying film. And
wow,
they can take that and say, okay, well, this player is preparing himself or this player is really not preparing himself. That's one of the things that they use to gauge how they put value on you as an athlete.
Amazing advice. And I know some of you guys started sweating and your eyes got big when Andre said that, because I know that many of you guys are on your tablets and you're not watching as much film as you could be. So that gets back to you being a practitioner of your craft. That was some good insight right there, Dre. Now, talk to me a little bit about, and this is a hot button topic, because we do have some moms and parents listening to this show tonight. In your opinion, I know you started football when you were a young pup, but in your opinion, when's the right age for somebody to start playing contact football?
You know, some people say younger, some people say older. It really truly does depend on the attitude of the child. There's certain kids that can handle starting early, and certain kids start later. So I would say somewhere around fourth grade, going into middle school, they should be able to start some type of contact or some type of football drills. But I think the most important thing that we're not focusing on is having the proper coaching when doing or playing this sport. And that makes the greatest difference in the world.
I think sometimes
coaches need to inform, instruct how to play this game. I think it's gotten a bad rap because they talk about the concussions. If you were to compare it to all sports, soccer actually has more concussions than the NFL, and they never mention that. Hockey, I think, has about as many or more concussions than the NFL. So there are other sports that have that create brain trauma. But if you have a great coach and you're using the right tools, you should know that you never really put your head in any type of contact. You hit with your shoulders, you hit with your forearms, and that goes. And that's why I say it comes to coaching, because a good coach or a good person who knows the skill of teaching football will teach those skills at a young age or at an age where they're in elementary, so that those skills can be refreshed as they move on from elementary to middle school to high school.
Fabulous point right there. And we are in the BYGP Locker Room Show. I am your host, Coach Terrence Wood, and we have the fabulous Andre Giraud on the line with us. This is somebody that I played with in college, Texas legend, went on to be drafted in the second round by the Dallas Cowboys, have an amazing career, 5-time Pro Bowler, and we've got him for about 15 minutes here. So once again, Dre, thank you for your time. I wanted to ask you, especially with all of the off-the-field issues that the young men are facing right now, and how you could lose a scholarship or lose an NFL contract with a simple tweet, do you think that the NCAA can better serve young men as far as preparing them for maybe some of the trappings of being a student athlete?
I think NCAA should do a better job and could do a better job of preparing those guys. I think there needs to be seminars or some type of education done for these athletes to let them know, hey, these are the situations, these are the things that we look at, and these are the penalties, so that they're better prepared. I definitely will say that college life is fun and exciting. It's all the things that a person can imagine, but there is definitely a carelessness that can happen while in college. And if there were programs instituted for the NCAA or by the NCAA so that there are seminars at all these colleges, at least they would give them the awareness. I think sometimes young kids going to college will act in a careless fashion, not realizing that there is actually consequences behind what you do. And the student athlete is not the same as the regular student. Yes, you may be able to have the freedom that the regular student has, but there is a governing body that is all about protecting the image and the integrity of the athletics in the NCAA.
Now, Dre, you had basically every accolade that a college football player and pro football player would want to have behind their name. So, you know, people recognized you, especially in Texas, by face, and you obviously had all the opportunity to do the wrong things off the field. But I also know that there's a certain ego that you have to walk on the field with on an NFL Sunday or a big-time college football Saturday to perform at a high level. How did you manage having the confidence in yourself on the field to dominate, but also being approachable and well-mannered off the field?
I think that you, a coach you would say it best, confidence edges on cockiness. Now, on the field, you can have that confidence and that cockiness when you're prepared. I think the preparation for the game is what got me to think about being at that point and being able to play without thinking too much or questioning what I was seeing. And that's something that these athletes definitely do need to prepare for. I think once you prepare as well as you can, you won't question what's happening because you'll react without even thinking. And I think that's where you have to be. As far as off-the-field behavior, I think that once you take the pads off, once you put on a regular pair of pants or a T-shirt, you're a normal person just like everyone else. And you have to find that balance of, okay, this is what I do on the field, but in the regular world, on a normal society, I'm a productive citizen, and I have to conduct myself in that way. I think when those lines get blurred, that's when you start seeing behavior that could potentially put you in a situation.
Great point right there, Andre. And we've got roughly about 10 more minutes with Andre. We do have a call-in number at 310-807-5195 if you want to ask him a question. I really wanted to talk to you about leveraging football for life success. I know that's something that you've been able to do, whether it's investments or just further educating yourself or like you said, now with the coaching. What advice would you give to Andre before the draft as far as leveraging football for life success?
I would tell Andre before the draft, as you get ready to enter into this thing called the NFL, you need to figure out ways to schedule your time. And young Andre will probably look at me crazy like, what are you talking about? I'm like, there's a time that you will need to be on the field. There's going to be a time where you need to study. And there's going to be another piece of time where you learn about being an entrepreneur. You learn about business. You learn about all these traits that are being used outside of football. And that kind of better prepares you for the transition when it does happen, because it happens to every one of us, of coming out of the game of football. I've met some great people. I've been in some programs, and I would tell all young guys, start thinking about this stuff while you're still playing. Start think, have a kind of throw some things out there, kind of figure out a picture of what you really want to do. And if you can figure out that picture, you then have to find the people that can help you, because you don't necessarily need to know every single thing. You just need to have the people that are willing to help you and not take advantage of you. And that's the thing that is the important thing in making that transition of balancing your time, because at some point in time, you're also going to have a family. And you have to figure out how to balance all these things at one time so that you can be the most successful as you can possibly be.
Well said right there, and we're going to finish off with just having a little fun, because I know these young football players that are listening want to get some of the juicy side of the NFL life that you've lived. Just a few questions for you as far as, and I'll fire them at you, Dre, as far as biggest trash talker in the NFL that you've ever been around, who would you say that was?
Biggest trash talker in the NFL that I can recall, there have been so many. that I'll probably say someone like Brian Dawkins.
Brian Dawkins, definitely. Philadelphia Eagles, great. And Hall of Fame now, right?
Yeah, Brian Dawkins, or on the offensive side, Terrell Owens. So I played against Brian Dawkins, played on the same thing with Terrell Owens. So that was very much comical.
Definitely. Two great names right there. And T.O., a lot of our kids are from the Bay Area, so they know T.O. And future Hall of Famer right there. So as far as defensive linemen, who's the strongest defensive lineman that you've ever played against?
Wow. Vince Wilfork, probably a future Hall of Famer, probably one of the strongest, along with Casey Hampton. And I'm trying to think who else. Yeah, probably just those two. Those two are some very uniquely strong guys. Anytime that you can take a human being and basically hold him off with one hand or throw him across your body with one hand, it's pretty strong.
Definitely. And Vince Wilfork of Miami Hurricanes fame and New England Patriots, and Casey Hampton of Texas Longhorns fame and Pittsburgh Steelers. Big time D tackles right there. And last but not least, for all the young football players working hard, they're dreaming, Dre, they're where we were years ago. What was the first big purchase that you made once you got to the NFL?
I will not tell a lie. The first purchase that I made was...
Yeah, don't come on my show and tell a lie, man.
No. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to lie to you. You'll appreciate this. First purchase I ever made, because you know I'm telling the truth. I bought myself a truck, because I never had a car. I bought me a truck.
There you go. And I'll never forget when we went to the Cadillac dealership and we were seniors at CU and we were checking out the cars, and me and Cedric Cormier, who we mentioned before, were sitting in with the wood grain wheels, and the guy came
Absolutely.
Up to you and you introduced yourself, and he said, "I know exactly who you are. It's my job to know who you are." So, We'll leave it at that, man.
Yeah,
but hey,
yeah.
Thank you
so much
for your time tonight, Dre, and love you dearly. And Cell Block, for those that don't know, you guys can pick up the book and find out what I'm talking about with that. But love you to death, man. So proud of you, and thanks for joining us.
Love you too, man. Anytime. Cell Block all the time.
No doubt. So, hey. So there you guys have it. That is Andre Girard, dear teammate of mine, and just real good guy. He really wants the best for you guys, and hopefully you got something for tonight's show. He is currently coaching, like he said, so maybe a plug for one of you guys one day if you stay on the right track. So once again, I am your host, Coach Terrence Wood, in the BYGP Locker Room Show, and we are signing off tonight, and this is the beginning, you guys, of an amazing season where we plan to bring top-notch guests right to your doorstep to teach you what you need to take it to the next level. We will definitely see you at the top. Have a good one.